There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
6:20, we're talking beauty now, which is something I don't know.
That's why you suddenly said to me then, do you know what, Claire, do you want to pick this up?
I did, and I realised I've just admitted why. Because I'm rubbish with things.
Now,
like
listen,
this.
It's not. We are going to talk beauty, but it's also really, really interesting homegrown business story. Because yeah. Ali Rahimtoola, who's the founder of Herbal Essentials, is in the studio with us for our Industry Insider. Good afternoon to you, Ali.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on the show.
And tell you, Tim, why it's exciting is because Ali set up Herbal Essentials how many years ago now, Ali?
It's about 8-9 years ago.
Okay, and this is a genuinely homegrown, clean brand. And we're just talking off air there, and we're going to tackle the fact that a lot of clean beauty, it's a big thing to be clean, but not everything is as clean as it says.
Right.
So we're going to go back to that. But I guess let's start, Ali, with how you came up with Herbal Essentials. So how did it work?
So I grew up in the UK, went to university in the States, and ended up working in the family business, which is very, very far from beauty and skincare. It was the shipping industry. And I opened our office in Dubai in 1996. And it was around 2008, 2009 that I just noticed amongst friends, people were talking about clean nutrition, wanting to eat healthy, well-being. I think you guys have all been in Dubai long enough to know that around that time, as the city really grew and got busy, people were looking at ways of managing their well-being and stress. And I had literally a light bulb moment during an exhibition, because Dubai is great for exhibitions, and I made a point of going to various exhibitions while in the shipping industry, that no one was really doing a kind of clean skincare while everyone was focusing on mind and holistic and yoga and things like the organic store and cleaner, healthier eating. The pharmacies specifically were missing a step there, and I decided to go for something that was out of my comfort zone.
Okay, so you went from an investment bank in New York to the family business, which was shipping, and perfectly naturally you went to Herbal Essentials after that. I understand that, but and it makes sense actually that if we all talk about clean living and detoxing and what you put in you get out and all that kind of thing. But if you're putting good stuff into your body, the right food, the right liquid, etc., it's natural to assume that you should put the right stuff on.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize that actually the skin, which is your largest living, breathing organ, I think, there's no exact science, but they estimate that anywhere between 50 to 65% of whatever you apply on your skin ultimately gets absorbed into your inner self. So it's a very short leap to start thinking, well, if I'm spending all this time with the right nutrition, but you're using, let's say, skincare products that are chocked full of synthetics that may not be as good for your system, ultimately that will filter its way into your bloodstream, into your body, into your organs, and that could have an effect. So when I started looking around in the market here, purely as a consumer, as someone who's had some ideas, I saw that back then, don't forget, the marketplace was a little bit different in the UAE, but there weren't that many that naturally brands that were truly natural.
Let's pick up on that truly natural, Ali, because obviously the industry has grown a lot in recent years. You read a lot of articles now about the chemicals you do and don't want in your products. There's a lot of companies packaging themselves in a certain way, using certain sort of trigger words that make you think that they might be holistic and green and all those kind of things and clean. How do you differentiate yourself when you really, let's start with what's not in your products? That would be in others.
So we don't have parabens, which are a preservative system that for many, many decades, a lot of the larger companies have used because it's very cost to produce, cheap to produce. And you put it in as a preservative system, which gives you a 2-4 year shelf life. So from a purely commercial point of view, if you're using a preservative system that has parabens that are synthetic, that may not be the best thing, because studies have come out in the States from some pretty learned institutions that while you can't say there is a direct linkage between parabens and skin cancer, there have been a number of studies that have led people to start questioning whether things like parabens or certain things like TEA, DEA I'm not a pharmacist, don't ask me what it stands for, or flatlets, can definitely have an adverse reaction on your system.
So you take out as much as you can that's a synthetic chemical,
as much as we can. I don't think any brand can be 100% natural, because if you think about it, you're making a formulation, you're making a cream or a gel. You need to have it last. If I was to make something that didn't have anything and gave it to you, Claire, it's a bit like a plate of food. If you make a spaghetti bolognese at home, it's not going to last very long in the fridge.
Yeah, I don't want it next week. Yeah.
Or in 3 months or yes. 6 months. So you do need to put certain things, but there are certain preservative systems that are salt-based, that are more natural, that are greener, things like Pentyol Green and things like that, which have been certified as being healthier or less harmful for you. So it's not that one's trying to put the fear into people who've been using these things. There are plenty of great brands out there that have used it for many, many years. But I think we're trying to provide a choice to the consumer.
How did you get into this, Ali? Because I wouldn't have a clue. I mean, clearly you're an entrepreneur. You have that kind of mindset by nature, I suppose. But how do you make that jump into something that clearly is quite technical? You need to have knowledge of what is good and bad when you came to make your first cream. I suppose it was a jump into the unknown.
It was, and I think the trick is you surround yourself with people who know and you learn, and even 8-9 years later I'm learning a huge amount. My learning curve every day, every week is enormous. But I think as a businessman, as an investor, an entrepreneur, I think the trick is one person can never do anything. If you look at all the truly successful companies that have sprung from an idea, the entrepreneur, the visionary, or whatever you want to call it, the founder, has managed to surround himself or herself with very, very bright people who understand what the vision is, what the end goal is. And then it's a bit like I'm a big football fan. It's a bit like being a manager. You know, if you have the right people on the pitch, your work is kind of half done, as long as you keep the strategy or the game plan in front of them so they don't lose sight of it.
Who do you support, by the way?
I'm an Arsenal fan, and Spurs have won, so I'm very upset.
I'm a Spurs fan, but we won't let that come between us, Ali.
Because
I'm enjoying the interview so far. How difficult is it for an independent brand such as yourself, in the face of all the big multinationals that own all of these, you know, well-known brands that aren't necessarily as ethically produced as yourself, as your brand, or as clean? How difficult is it to show the consumer what is special about you?
So it is a very good question. It's very difficult. I think it's changed. Let me take you back a few years, and it's changing very rapidly, and that's because of social media. So I would argue it's easier today to reach your target audience and tell them your story and have an online presence. But back in the old days of 2008, 2009, when, let's say, e-commerce and social media was not as strong, you ultimately had to get the product onto the shelf in the pharmacies or the department stores or wherever you wanted to position it. And that was a big challenge. I got lucky. I pitched to a few pharmacy chains who were far-sighted enough, I like to think, to give me a chance. It was 6 products, bottom shelf in the back corner, and if it doesn't sell in 3 months, take your stock back and don't call us again. But when you get a chance, you work hard and you hire good salespeople and you tell the story and you work with great PR people and marketing people and you start telling your story. And then one of the things that I've learned in the process in this region is I think arguably a lot of consumers don't understand their skin as much as, let's say, in other regions of the world. That's a perfectly valid point. I mean, I myself, as a pre-investor in the cosmetics industry, I barely used moisturizer. I'm the first to say that.
But now?
I do regularly use
cleansing
products.
Toning, moisturizing. Are you exfoliating, Ali?
No comment. I'll take the fifth on that.
These are all words I don't even understand. So back in I love the way you say the old days of 2008, 2009, by the way.
Yeah, but that's how much the industry has moved on so much
time. If you talk about the industry, if we were in North America, they're brands that are not on the retail shelf that sell exclusively through subscription or online. I mean, if you look at Jessica Alba's Honest Company, she started it through a subscription plan. She had her name behind it, but she promoted it online, and they didn't need to go down the retail route. this region wasn't like that. So I think we've had to have the product available on shelf.
She does have a few natural advantages.
Let's be honest. Yeah, I want what she's using. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
One thing I want to just point out, which we feel that we're trying to do to educate the consumer, is this year we've set up a series of skin labs around the country. So they're in various malls. We have three in Dubai, one in Al Bashar Mall, one in Arabian Center, one in Mercato, and then in Abu Dhabi we have in Dalma Mall, and we plan to roll out more. But people can go there and actually understand their skin type, because what product is good for you, Claire, is not necessarily good for Sally, right? For you, Tim.
And here there's so many different skin types because we're such a multicultural population.
It's just multicultural, but it's also your diet, your stress levels, your lifestyle. They all affect your skin type. And one of the nicest things we did is we did an event for beauty bloggers who are the great and the good. They know everything about beauty. And I got a great email saying, thank you, what a great idea for a skin lab. I've just realized I've been using the wrong toner for the last 3 years of my life, and my skin has improved. And that's from a beauty blogger who should
know their stuff. Yeah.
So I think the first thing is we're trying to provide a choice that is a more natural choice, and we're trying to educate the consumer, because ultimately the only way a small local brand that's homegrown can win against the huge budgets of the conglomerates is by earning the trust of the consumer and telling them to it straight. This is what you need to use. And, you know, we have a very simple edict. If we don't have a product that is suitable for a consumer, we tell them, don't buy our product. Go and buy something else. I'd rather earn the loyalty and the trust of a consumer, because I think the team has figured out that person, when they're thankful, will tell their friends, and then you build up a following, and that's how you actually try to build a brand.
It makes sense. You're just back from the UK. I just wanted to ask you briefly about this. I know you've been kind of on holiday, kind of working.
Correct.
Are you thinking it's time now to spread the wings here?
We're going to be launching in the UK next year, for sure. We're thinking about our own flagship store in central London, where we can have Himalayan-inspired facials, because all of our products are made with Himalayan spring water, which have a great macro mineral benefit for your skin. And I think offering Himalayan inspired skincare in a market like the UK, where it'll be perceived as something exotic, with products that work, with products that are made in Europe, will be unusual. And we're also talking to UK-based retailers. The other thing we're doing in France is with a very top formulator, working on a natural skin active using natural ingredients that'll have an anti-aging effect. Trying to avoid, again, the synthetics.
That's always good.
And the ideas were all born here.
Here.
In the UAE.
And isn't that fantastic, Tim? You know, homegrown from here and now moving into Europe rather than the other way, where we get so many brands from Europe or across the world here. I love that it started here and going there.
Bit of a loss for the shipping industry, may I comment, Ali, but there you are.
I'm not sure.
Ali Ramtul is founder of Herbal Essentials. Good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.